Greetings, all you astute and acute gamers, to another episode of the Daily Days Podcast, that weekly wistful show that follows both retro and modern roads. I'm Mr. Picario, your humble host as we explore gaming's farthest and deepest reaches. And today, this means two reverently esteemed words, Sega Dreamcast. Indeed, this last week saw the seminal little system's 20th anniversary. Hard to believe that time has flown by so fast. Launched on the now legendary street date of 9/9/99, the Sega Dreamcast was the company's final foray into the console market, excepting, of course, the upcoming Sega Genesis Mini. The system saw a lot of firsts, including a built-in modem for online play and controllers that utilized separate miniature screens via Sega's so-called visual memory units, which themselves were sophisticated memory cards that resembled tiny Game Boys with thumbnail displays and working D-pads. The console was also supremely powerful for its time, demonstrating, one might say, true blast processing by virtue of its stunning and often innovative library of games. From Sonic's Revival and Sonic Adventure to the joyously nihilistic Crazy Taxi to the beautiful and jaw-dropping Soul Calibur, the system boasted games for players of every persuasion. Yet, despite some encouraging hype and initially strong sales in the West, the Dreamcast had all but gone defunct by March 2001. At that point, Sega had decided to give up the console biz in favor of going third-party only, hence Sonic and others soon showing up on the competition systems. It's a sad and even tragic tale for both the company and console, but the silver lining here is that all these years later, people still remember, still wax nostalgic, for the scant couple years in which those lucky enough to own this gem of a system were treated to a wondrous burst of creativity never really seen before or since. What follows after the break are simply my own memories and cherished reminiscences about the system. Nothing too thought-provoking or insightful, just my own brief, heartfelt tribute to Sega's last and some would say greatest marvel. So, I'm reluctant to admit that I'm partly to blame for the Dreamcast demise. As a poor college student at the time, I scoffed at buying one in 1999, yet it didn't hurt that I was working at a video store where I could often take a rental system home for free and try out the latest and greatest games at no harm to my wallet. To be fair, I did want one. While Sega's mesmerizing Sonic Adventure was enticing enough, what really tweaked my senses was Sega Sports NFL 2K. The game's replay seemed so realistic, my co-workers and I actually did a double take as we first beheld the game in action. I mean, this was actually a game with graphics that real? More than any other console, the Dreamcast opened my eyes to our approaching high-fidelity future. But I still never got one. To my credit, I skipped on the PS2, too, the system most blamed for the Dreamcast's early end. A GameCube, though? To Nintendo, I couldn't say no, at least during this naive and unpredictable time. So as I gorged on Mario Sunshine and Smash Bros. Melee, the Dreamcast continued to falter despite fine titles like Power Stone, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, Jet Set Radio, Phantasy Star Online, and even an exclusive Resident Evil. Of course, about 2 years later, I finally took the plunge. A brand new Dreamcast was going for a meager $80 at my local Best Buy, with Sonic Adventure and Sonic Shuffle included, plus one of those nifty memory cards with a screen. I promptly rushed to my dorm room and hooked the thing up, and, amazingly, that GameCube of mine was forgotten, at least for a while. It didn't hurt, either, that most of the games had gotten ridiculously cheap. Between Best Buy and GameStop, I accrued a small but respectable eclectic collection. From fighters like Dead or Alive 2 and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, to the action RPG Record of Lodoss War and quirky overhead run-and-gunner Cannon Spike. I relived my arcade days with Daytona USA 2001, found life after Mario with Rayman 2, and even flirted a little with the weird experimental Seaman before moving on. My final purchase, I think, was a heavily discounted Shenmue before all traces of Sega's dissed system faded from shelves, and that's when the guilt finally hit. If only I, and millions of others, had supported this king of machines while it still stood a chance. Instead, well, it was dead, and no amount of regret would ever bring it back. So now it's 2019, and this is the incredible part. Despite Steam and the Nintendo Switch and the fast-approaching PS5, the Dreamcast has never truly vanished from the prevailing gaming consciousness. It's always around in the background, like a primal inherited memory embedded in every hardcore gamer's DNA. The Dreamcast today has well transcended its plastic shell, less synonymous to gaming or even Sega, and more a symbol for innovation itself, for emphasizing new ideas over incremental, predictable sequels. Sega's final console might have suffered a short, thankless life, but its influence is immortal, grasping across the chasms of time to all those who care to heed its tale. Indeed, a console, any console, no matter how grand, is only as strong as the faith of its fanbase. And sadly, in the Dreamcast's case, that reverence was only found long after the system had been laid to rest. But it could have been worse. Sega is still around, after all, the proud father of one of history's greatest gaming platforms. And for the rest of us, we can't still appreciate and celebrate that pioneering pocket of time when anything seemed possible. Thank you, Sega, for your final contribution to gaming's grand archives, and please forgive my earlier negligence. If there's ever a Dreamcast 2, I'm there day one. Thanks for listening, everyone. I will return next week, and until then, this is Mr. Picario, signing off for now.